Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back. Droid Life Show, episode 104 today. We're calling this Galaxy S7 Day. It is Friday, March 11th, which just so happens to be Galaxy S7 launch day. So what we thought we'd do with this show is just kind of go over our, I guess, more well-rounded, well-informed, if you will, opinions on each phone. Because we've each had, I've had the S7 for, I think, almost 2 weeks now. And you've had I've had the S7 for almost 2 weeks. And you've had the regular S7. Or I'm sorry, Jesus. I've had the S7. You've had the S7 Edge for a while now, too. So we thought we'd go over those. Talked about Android N because Android N is here, which is shocking as all hell. There's some other stuff we want to go through, too. But anyways, I'm your host, Kellen. With me is Tim on his birthday. Say hi, Tim.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
So, yeah, let's just bust into S7, S7 Edge stuff. So I've had S7 again for a couple weeks. You've had the S7 Edge now for most of this week. Figured we could just kind of give our just sort of roundabout opinions of each now that we've held them. Then we'll dive into maybe some more detailed stuff. So as far as the S7 goes, I will say I like the phone. It's interesting. You and I have had some conversations over the past week about, I think you asked me what I was thinking about the S7, and I asked you yesterday, I think, what your general thoughts were on the S7 Edge after a few days. And our responses were kind of lukewarm. And I guess, like, for me, I don't know that that's because I don't think this phone's really great, because I think the phone's really great. It's just it's not just blowing me away. And maybe just because I think you said it, we're just kind of jaded because we play with every great phone, and phones are just so good right now. Like, the 6P is still an amazing phone to this day. Moto X Pure Edition, still good. The Note 5, like, if you have a Note 5, you don't really need to upgrade to an S7. Like, it's still an amazing phone. So it's not that we're not blown away by these phones. We're just not going, oh my God, this is something so new and so revolutionary. It's changing everything. That said, the S7 is a really, really good phone. As you guys know, I've been looking at the gold one, which I picked up because I thought the black would be more of a fingerprint magnet. But that was basically my reasoning for going gold over black. And it fits amazing in hand because it's a small-ish phone at 5.1 inches. The camera is insanely fast. The performance has been great. I haven't had any jankiness issues, performance issues at all. My battery life is average. I'm not blown away at all by the battery. Fingerprint sensor is really fast. Thankfully, you can put themes over the top of terrible TouchWiz. We'll talk more about how much I hate TouchWiz in a second. But overall, like, I don't have any complaints. It's been really nice to use a smaller phone. Obviously, it looks beautiful. You know, it's that all glass, that all metal. With the curve to the back this year, it fits better in your hand. You can add an SD card, which I did. I mean, like, I don't really have it. Even has a headphone jack on the bottom, which, you know, I'm a big fan of. So it's one of those phones that I don't really have any complaints about. But again, I'm just not going, oh my God, everyone needs to buy this. Because it's one of those things, like, you guys might own phones that are still good and you don't need to buy it. But, you know, if you're on an S5 or something 2 years old, you should upgrade immediately. So anyways, those are sort of my general thoughts. Like, really great phone. I don't really have any complaints about it. What about you, S7 Edge?
I feel like there's so much to say. I mean, I could probably take up the whole show just talking about it.
That's fine. Take up as much as you want.
But for me, you know, the first thing, just in comparison to the Galaxy S6 Edge, which I used quite a bit last year, this was actually the phone that I was like, I want to buy that phone with money and not just have a review unit that I have to send back. I want to have that phone. And, you know, I used it for months. But what I've noticed so far is that I like the S7 Edge even more. It is a great looking device. I got the silver version, and, you know, they showed us the silver version with the Note 5, I believe, last year, but they never made it available. So now, having silver in the S7 Edge, I would say it's probably one of the best looking smartphones ever. But going beyond that, you know, they made the phone a lot better. The display is larger, but like on the S6 Edge, there's that metallic border around the entire kind of glass panel on the backside. And there's the same thing on the S7 Edge, although they've rounded it like you get on the Note 5. So it fits in your hand a whole lot better, even though the display is bigger. It just feels a lot better. And of course, you know, it looks a lot better in that silver. Any color really looks good. Although, like you said, total fingerprint magnet. Like, you will not be able to see it on this camera at all, but it's littered with fingerprints and smudges and grease and oil, and it makes me feel like I need to wash my hands way more often, even though I'm totally OCD about that already. So I have to have a microfiber cloth with me basically in my pocket because I want to show my friends, right? So I'm like, oh, here, check out my phone. But wait, hold on, let me wipe it off real quick. Yeah, because you're going to get it in your hand and you're going to be like, what the hell? Eating Cheetos all day. So the overall looks fantastic. The display, insanely nice. You know, coming from the Nexus 6P, which I've been using now for a few months, stock Android is lovely and all that. But, you know, the display, not as highly saturated as I care for. So Samsung panels, the Super AMOLED, QHD, super saturated. Looks fantastic to my eyes. The camera, I've been snapping tons of pictures. It looks great. You know, there's not much of a difference between the 16 megs and the 12 megs besides the overall size resolution. So, I mean, really, it's a huge upgrade. It's water resistant. I've heard, you know, some people said waterproof, but definitely not waterproof. IP68, I believe, water resistance.
Yeah, which is close. I mean,
close enough, right? I mean, yeah. for anything that you might see yourself doing, if you drop it in water, it's fine. If you're outside in the rain, it's fine.
You can take a bath with it.
It's totally fine. Although using it underwater will be hard given the capacitive nature of screens and all that. So you won't be able to use the display properly. Right. And that's why, you know, when you see it underwater or water hitting it, it'll activate the display and it'll do funky things, but don't worry. It's not damaging the device at all. So, and again, I have to stress, don't plug it in underwater or anything silly like that. So I think I said that a couple of shows back. So overall, I would give it, you know, the Tato stamp of approval. It looks so good. Feels so good. In terms of, you know, TouchWiz performance and jank and things in that nature, nothing too crazy so far. Battery life has been good. 3,600 milliamp hour battery. It's been getting me through a solid day, and I've been using it heavily, you know, because I'm trying to get like a review going and all that stuff. So I've been using it. So far, so good. This one is on T-Mobile's network, and my coverage has been good. I noticed when I went to the Gold 6P that we got for attending a Huawei event in CES, my connectivity was sort of all over the place, going from Wi-Fi to the cell network. It would go from LTE and switch all the way down to HSPA Plus and back and forth. It was kind of janky in that regard, but S7 Edge holding strong. Like I said, I could keep going, but I can't really think of anything else too much. You know, they changed up TouchWiz. It does seem a lot better, although still not close to anything I would call totally awesome and life-changing. I wish they would get rid of it completely, but I just did a video on the S7 Edge panel, which is, it's a huge remodel when you compare it to the S6 Edge, which only had the people edge on the home screen. It had some tickers on the lock screen, but the S7 Edge panel is, it's really actually useful. You know, I can get my sports scores. There's even a compass. So all in all, yeah, like Kellen said, it's not something you have to upgrade to from a Note 5 or a Nexus 6P or anything like that, or a Galaxy S6, but you know, at the same time, if you have something maybe a little older or you got some cash to burn, then this would be a good device to do that on, because so far it's impressing the heck out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that.
Yeah, there's just not a lot to hate on with these phones at all. I don't know that Samsung really did anything wrong. I mean, look, if it was a perfect phone, it probably wouldn't, for me anyway, I wouldn't want the home button and the capacitive buttons. I'd want on screen. And obviously, we'd love stocking. Like, this is the phone, if they brought back Google Play editions, I would buy this Harpy. But, I mean, those are the little things where you can kind of get around them. You can get used to a home button, and we can obviously throw launchers on to sort of hide some of TouchWiz's crap. But, yeah, Samsung didn't really do anything wrong here. Like, they threw everything into a phone you could pretty much possibly throw into a phone. Now, it doesn't have a removable battery, but I honestly don't think that many people care anymore. I don't know. I've never seen the actual numbers there, but I don't think that many people care. As long as your phone lasts long enough, and you know, if it isn't lasting that long and you do have a charger, it has fast charging and fast wireless charging. So it's an impressive phone.
Yeah, it has all of those things Samsung brought back expandable storage, and we're now seeing that there's codes that you can do, you know, you can partition SD cards to allow them to be adoptable storage for the Galaxy S7 and all that, and we'll be writing that up soon, possibly. But, you know, the idea that Samsung really, I think, took customer feedback, they worked on the software, they added in features that people were wanting, and they said, here you go, this is what you asked for. And I think they really nailed that. You know, and there's a couple of things that I don't like, and that's that we're sticking with the micro USB. I really would love to go Type-C across the board, sort of like an industry standard. But of course, you know, they didn't want to have to redo Gear VR and all of, you know, all of their peripherals and all this crap. And so maybe the Note 6 will have USB Type-C and they'll make a new Gear VR. I mean, who knows? Probably they already not. Had like five editions of the Gear VR. I don't see what the big deal is making another one.
My guess is they'll wait until next year on the...
Yeah, that's quite pumped. The S8, that does suck. But like you said, we still have fast charging, fast wireless charging.
And you can use all the thousands of chargers you probably already have. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So. The one beef that I have so far with the phone is the speaker. And there's only one speaker. It's down on the bottom. And whenever I have the phone in landscape mode, I'm holding it to, say, play a game, watch a YouTube video. I find myself covering up the speaker many more times than I would like to, and I always have to kind of adjust my hand the way I'm holding it, and I sort of have to cup my hand to make the sound bounce off of my palm and into my face. I don't really care for that. You know, the Nexus 6P has much better speakers, front-facing speakers that sound great, kind of in that surround sound. This, a little hollow, tinny, few of the words I would use to describe the sound that comes from the speaker, but, you know, that's just nitpicking. I mean, it's a speaker. It works. If you want better sound, use some headphones.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, what do you expect? It's not HTC with boom sound or anything like that. So,
which they have ditched, at least the speakers anyway. They still have their software
speaker,
basically, but the speakers are rest in peace.
Yeah.
At least Moto and Nexus phones have front speakers. The front speakers should just be a thing. If you're holding a phone, you want the sound to come at you. You don't want it going away. You know, like even the 6 or the 5X only has one front speaker, but at least it's pointing towards you, which is something.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things. There's a lot of little nitpicky things. I mean, you made a post saying 9 things that drive me nuts about the Galaxy S7. And, you know, for the most part, I agree with all of them. I mean, they're sort of, some of them are a few like nitpicky things as people point out. But, you know, at the same time, they are, you know, they're good points to bring up, I think, if you're trying to make that perfect smartphone. So
yeah, and most of them are the way their software works, right? Because it differs from essentially what everyone else is doing. It's some of those things like setting default apps, right? Like how when you get a choice, when you open a link, let's say, and you get the choice to choose, do you want to open it with Chrome beta or Chrome or the regular Galaxy browser? And when you tap on those, Samsung just automatically sets that as your default. But Android is not supposed to work that way. You're supposed to get a choice each time unless you say always do that. And so like little things like that drive me nuts. And yeah, in that post that you're talking about, a lot of the stuff I talked about, all you need to do is install a third-party launcher and it fixes most of that crap. But what people need to remember is when we're reviewing phones, we review them as stock as they come with the setup and settings that these manufacturers want, because I mean, obviously we move icons around and put our own widgets and stuff, but we use their stock launchers and dialers and camera apps and all that stuff because we want to review it as basically as they're presenting the phone to us. And so, yeah. And I think a lot of people look, most of our readers, you know, use third-party launchers and they know what they are and all that stuff. They're informed, intelligent Android users. But there's a lot of users out there that go buy a phone and they don't change anything. Like, not to say my parents are, you know, uninformed tech people, but I look at their phones and they just slap icons on their home screens. There's not really a bunch of widgets. And, you know, I look at their phones and I want to like tweak them and make them more efficient. But that's just the way most people set them up. And they're not using third-party launchers. So that's why we review these. And that's why I nitpick the hell out of Samsung's garbage.
Right. Someone in the YouTube comments brings up a really like valid and interesting point. They said, you guys had an article last year called "It's 2015. Why do all smartphones still come with a butt?" And do you think the S7/S7 Edge has a butt to it? And you know, this is actually the first phone where I might even be so crazy to say that this phone does not have a butt to it. Not that one that really comes to mind. Real quickly, the battery is good. I don't know about your S7 too much, but the S7 Edge has a large, nearly 4,000 milliamp hour battery. The battery's good. Software, you know, it's usable. Like you said, put a home launcher on it or something. Camera's great. Display is great. I don't know, man. This might be the first phone to not have a butt.
Yeah, I'm just looking at that post now. It's some of the things I called out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, with the S6 and S6 Edge, when I called those out, it was because they had terrible battery life. So the Note 5 and the S6 Edge Plus had fine battery life, and these phones have, it's crazy, actually. The S7 has the exact same size battery as the Note 5. It's 3,000 milliamp hour. And then the S7 Edge has a massive, like, 3,600. So, I mean, it might be the first phone that doesn't really have a butt. Like you said, you can nitpick, right?
Sure.
Like, you can nitpick, like, but it doesn't have USB Type-C if you wanted, or...
It's got TouchWiz and not stock Android.
It has TouchWiz, yeah. I mean, there's, like, those little things. I don't know that those really count. I mean, it might be. There's, generally speaking, there's not really anything wrong with this phone. I mean, like I said, my battery life hasn't been great. I know most people that have the Edge seem to be having really, really good battery life. Almost borderline excellent battery life. And some of the other reviews I've seen as well, because I wasn't that impressed with the battery life on the regular S7. I looked around to see if anyone else was saying, oh, no, it's best battery life ever. And most people on the regular S7 are kind of just saying it's average. So I think if I had one complaint, it's that it doesn't have blow me away battery life, but whatever. Like, I have chargers everywhere. It's not, it hasn't been annoying. Like, the S6, that thing was dead on me every day at, like, 3 p.m. This phone, you know, if I have a couple hours of screen on time, it's, like, 7 o'clock, and it's 15%. It's probably okay for some people, right. Most people. And if you're sitting at an office, you know, you just top it off with a little juice, and you're good. So, yeah, I don't know. There may not be a butt. Maybe we need to revisit that idea and say,
revisit
the first phone without a butt. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing glaring you in the face whenever you look at the phone or try and use it that's like, this
is in the glass missing. And the fingerprints.
Well, of course, glaring, you know, but pun intended. But say, for example, the OnePlus 2, you know, it lacks NFC. You know, I mean, what the hell? So, like, there's on some phones, right. Some things are like actually physically missing to make it a usable phone, I'd say. Not that NFC really makes a phone usable or unusable, but, you know, it's something big like that. And, you know, these phones, water resistant, expandable storage, Samsung Pay, Android Pay. I mean, whatever the hell you want to use it for, you can do that. Yeah. So Samsung's done a damn good job. And I think anyone competing with them in the Android realm, LG, HTC, Motorola, has their work really cut out for them this year to even sort of, you know, match what Samsung's put out there. That's my opinion. Of course, there's always going to be people saying, well, it has TouchWiz, so I'm not going to run it. That's right. Fine. You know, we can always expect that.
I guess if you want a butt, that would be your one, is that Samsung's terrible at updating phones.
That is true.
You just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Marshmallow is just now rolling out to Note 5s and S6s and all that. So it's taken a long time, months, half a year. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, Marshmallow came out, what, October?
October.
And Halloween. It's just now getting to Samsung phones now. That's bad.
It is bad. But then again, it's like, what do you expect? I mean, we expect it now.
Yeah, it just sucks.
But yeah, it does suck for the people who spend their hard-earned money. They want those Android updates. And we actually, in our volume, our DNL or DL Q&A session, someone asked, you know, are Android updates actually important? And we will be answering that question. But yes, they are. You know, they feature security updates, things of that nature, things that are actually important for the OS. And when OEMs aren't updating the software and carriers are holding it back and doing whatever they're doing, their certification processes and all that, it takes away from the experience of the user and puts them at risk even.
Yeah, I mean, especially on a security front, when you just talk about every single month, Google is issuing security patches. And if carriers aren't getting these updates out because of their terribly slow, ancient processes, that means phones are vulnerable to that stuff. But yeah, outside of that, I mean, things like Marshmallow have Doze, right? Like, Doze is a feature that could help phones like the S6 and S6 Edge. They have terrible battery life. That could really help. So there are benefits there. And then look, the other part is your buddy's getting an update and has whatever's new and you don't. Like, you just feel like crap and you're pissed then that you invested in a phone that doesn't get updates as soon as, you know, your obnoxious friend. So I think it's a really big deal. still to this day. I mean, it's obviously a big deal when Apple takes the stage and talks about how fast they update their phone. I mean, it's a big deal. People care about updates. Even people that aren't nerds care about updates because they want new stuff. Like I said, my whole family, when they get an update on their phone, they email me or send me a message in Hangouts and go, "Hey, I got an update." So it's a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's just quickly do your two favorite things about the S6 Edge or S7 Edge. Sorry.
Two favorite things about S7 Edge. Well, the look of it. I mean, the silver color. I know it's extremely shallow of me to judge something purely on looks, but I love the silver. Thank you, yeah. Samsung, for bringing the silver to
it's
the
so
U.S.
Great, yeah.
It's really fantastic. And so the second one, I would say, sort of like a split 50-50 between the display itself and the camera. The display looks fantastic, you know, scrolling through Instagram, you know, now that Instagram actually allows for high quality photos to on the Android app, you know, they look fantastic. I spend a lot of time on Instagram and follow Droid Life on Instagram, please. And the display just looks so good. Super AMOLED QHD. Samsung always does so well on their panels. And as we see from the, you know, the companies, the third parties that rate these displays, the S7, S7 Edge have the best displays ever put in a smartphone. So to your human eye, you know, you may not be able to make out all the little tiny nuances and pixels and details, but you know, in the everyday scenario, you do realize how nice the display is, I think, overall. And your experience is heightened by that.
I would say my two are probably just design. Like number one would be design in the way this phone in particular fits in your hand. Like I spent the second half of last year on Note 5, Moto X Pure, and then 6P, all of which have 5.7 inch displays, all of which are huge phones. And so to go to a phone that feels, it almost feels like a throwback. It's just been refreshing to have a phone that like you drop it in your pocket and you don't really notice it's there and you can use it with one hand. Like while I'm chasing my son around, like I can still like be on Instagram. I know that sounds terrible, but so I think the design and size of this phone has been really, really nice. And I would say the second thing has just been watching Samsung step up and fix all of the problems from last year. You know, we have complaints. So one example would be HTC, right? HTC One M7, we all complained about how terrible their 4-megapixel camera was. And we're 3 versions into that phone now, and they still haven't fixed it. You know, we complained about the same thing basically over and over for 3 years with them, and they never did fix it. But Samsung, from 1 year to the next, we all said, well, bring the SD card back. We need a bigger battery, and we want it to be water resistant. And they did all of those things. And they're all really good. Like the battery life on this is better than the S6. And it's water resistant, borderline waterproof if you want to go there. And it has an SD card slot. So yeah, those are probably the two things. Just the design and then watching Samsung sort of fix all the little pain points. Really good phone. So I don't know how you can go wrong here.
Yeah.
So let's say this. Is this, like when you're done reviewing the S7 Edge, is it your next phone? Like, is it the phone you stick with? Or are you going back to Gold 6P or something like that?
It really depends on the landscape of the ecosystem at the time that the review is done, right? You know, because there's always something new coming.
G5's right around the corner.
Yeah, G5 right around the corner, HTC 10. So by the time I'm probably done with the S7 Edge, you know, we'll be talking G5, and then we'll be talking HTC 10, and then we'll be talking Motorola. Then we're talking Nexus.
Okay, so let's jump to like May, because by the time May rolls around, we'll be done with HTC probably. And then there'll be this gap before Motorola probably has something. So you'll have like a good three months. And if you were to settle, well, I guess by then, who knows, maybe the G5 will blow you away or HTC. So
yeah,
it's tough. But okay, as of today, if you didn't have the G5 and HTC on the horizon, would this be your phone over, say, the 6P or everything else that's available right now?
So what made that choice so easily for me last year is that the S6 and S6 Edge got janky over a few month period, right? Performance started to slow down as we've seen on previous Samsung devices. So I'm hoping, I mean, damn, with 4 gigs of RAM, that won't be the case. And maybe Samsung will even update it here and there. But I'm not expecting an update 3 months down the road or anything. But, you know, and with Android N out, I may have to maybe carry two phones. I might have to go gold 6P and silver S7 Edge just so I can kind of start loving on Android Nutella a little bit and playing with the S7 Edge. So, you know, but I guess if I was just out there carrying it around, I would go Galaxy S7 Edge because of the different options I have. Like, say if I'm going out on a hike, you know, when I drop it, you know, I don't have to really worry about it because it's water resistant or something like that. You know, it's got the expandable storage and all that. So, great camera. Both phones are so great. You know, I mean, I have both of them sitting right next to me right now. So, it just depends on what I need it for that day. But I guess I would have to lean towards the S7 Edge, given the, I'm trying to think of like the word, but I can do a lot with it. Yeah. There you go.
I think I would probably, I mean, it's, look, this is what we do for a living. So we always have new stuff, but I think I'm with you. I would lean towards the S7 becoming my daily phone because, like I said, size. And like you just mentioned, overall package, the camera is insanely fast and amazing. And I can use Samsung Pay and it's water resistant, all that stuff. So I would probably lean towards it, but you also just mentioned the big, new part of this whole situation, and that's Android N. So while it's a janky as hell beta preview, which we'll talk about in just a second, and it's hard to use that on a daily phone, it's also part of our job to use that and learn it and see what's new. But yeah, I mean, I think I would probably go S7 right now if I had to choose a phone, just because it's, I mean, the polish is there. When you pick up these phones, and it started last year with the S6, you just feel like you're picking up the most premium phone on the market. I mean, look, the 6P, it's all metal and it feels nice as well. There's something about just like the finishing touches to these new Samsung phones that just make them feel like next level. So yeah, I'd probably go S7 too at this point, but who knows, maybe the G5. Yeah. We'll change that in, a couple of weeks. Same thing with HTC. I think it's going to be another, 2 years ago, we talked about how lame the smartphone year was, with the Galaxy S5 that year and the One M8. We talked about how lame that year was. And then last year was awesome because we got Samsung actually took design serious, and the G4 with its questionably sourced leather was awesome. And then the Moto X Pure Edition was awesome. And then the Nexus phones were the best ever by a mile. So this year, though, it's already starting out pretty awesome. So very exciting stuff.
Yeah, real quickly, someone asked in the IRC channel, the chat, if we would recommend either Android Pay or Samsung Pay. You know, say we could only use one, and given you're on a device that supports both, a Samsung device, which would you use or prefer?
So the big thing there, I mean, I would say Samsung Pay without hesitation, but you have to have a card supported by Samsung Pay. Like Android Pay, I think they support just about everything at this point, don't they? Yeah. Samsung Pay doesn't. We were talking about this earlier, how limited it is. Like Tim can't even use it because Samsung Pay is not available on his any of his accounts. I do have US Bank, which thankfully is supported, but they don't support like Capital One or obviously the small credit union I belong to. So if you have a supported card, I mean, it's Samsung Pay hands down. Like I was at Target the other night, and Target, for whatever reason, will not install NFC terminals. And so I just pulled out my phone anyway, because I had the Galaxy S7, and just tapped the little thing and stared down the clerk, where's your NFC panel? Watch this. I mean, you could use it just about anywhere. I used it at the grocery store. It's one of those things where you could use it everywhere, basically. So I would say Samsung Pay for sure.
If you have
a card.
I would have to agree. If you had a card, or if I had a card that had Samsung Pay compatibility, I'd probably use it all the time. I mean, not having to pull out the wallet and all that, just tapping the phone wherever. Yeah. I mean, that's great. But I contacted my bank actually this morning because I really want to start stressing the importance of mobile payments to my bank, because they're a somewhat smaller bank. And so I feel like I have a little bit of input into where they put their resources. So on social media, I'm going to keep calling their representatives and all that, and just seeing Samsung Pay, Samsung Pay. And hopefully one day soon, Samsung Pay support will come from my bank. They said that it takes a long time to sort of implement their cards and get them compatible with the service. So, I mean, that's all just mumbo jumbo. Don't let them give you the turnaround and all that. Just keep stressing them, and maybe one day it'll come.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I think it sucks that you haven't been able to use it, because how often are you standing in line at like the grocery store, or if you're buying coffee, or even like at a restaurant or something, and you're paying like a term, like if you're at Chipotle about to poison yourself, you almost always have your phone in your hand, right? Like your wallet's in your back pocket and your phone, you're probably holding it and playing with it while you're waiting for whatever. And then you just tap it on a terminal before you, it makes sense. So yeah, Samsung Pay for sure.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Should we jump into Android N stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Big deal. Big news.
Yeah. So out of nowhere, really. Oh, so on Wednesday, and Wednesday, Google's sort of known for doing things on Wednesdays, right? We used to call it Update Wednesday. That's calmed a little bit in the last year. But Wednesday morning at 10 a.m., Google announced the Android N developer preview. We don't know what N stands for, but it could be Nutella. But so they announced Android N, and we're not even to Google I.O. yet, right? Google I.O. is in 2 months in May. And so last year, the year before, I think, too, they announced their previews at I.O., and then they went a couple of months of previews, and then full release in sort of fall, early winter-ish, or Q4-ish. And then this year, they just, out of nowhere, it's March. I mean, that was March 9th, and they released an Android N developer preview. Obviously, it's preview one. And so they're expecting to have it ready for their manufacturing partners by this summer. So you should tell me what you think that means. Because when I read that as they're going to pass code off to their retail partners, but that doesn't necessarily mean a public release. Or do you think that means a public release to like Nexus phones come summer?
No, I think what that only means is that they're going to give it to the OEMs and their partners.
So that they can release it in the fall or winter, like they always do, right? That's how I read that too. But I think a lot of people have taken that to mean it's just going to be available this summer. So all Nexus phones will have it. And then the partners or their manufacturing partners will have it. And then maybe they'll push update. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's still too early to really, tell. They did publish like a timeline, like this first one alpha build. So I think we have a long ways to go before official release. We'll probably see something a little bit more finalized, at least tweaked by, when Google I.O. comes around, all that. But I'm not expecting a complete Android N release, for a while. So, much like last year, they want to build up Android N and then hand it off to the OEMs and the partners and allow them to do everything they need to do their optimizations, because we know that takes a hell of a long time.
I mean, I'm looking at the timeline now, and it does say Q3 final release to AOSP, which would then mean to Nexus phones.
That would be a launch. Well, Q3, I mean, late Q3. I mean, Q3 is sort of vague.
Yeah, so it basically looks like each month. So obviously, we got preview one now. Then April, May, June, July, they're going to do... this is an alpha. So they'll go beta next month, another beta in May. And then in June, it says final APIs and official SDK, Play publishing. And then in July, near final system images for final testing. And then it just says Q3 to AOSP. So that could be August or it could be September, right?
It could be September 30th. Absolutely.
Okay, it could be. So, I mean, I guess that is the case. So we're going to get it earlier than ever this year, which is... it's just so weird. They didn't really say why, right? So Hiroshi Lockheimer ran this post over on Medium, and he talked about, we just want to get it to you earlier than ever. And I get that, but I guess they just have done enough work on it, they're ready to just push it out, is really what this means, right?
Yeah, I think they're just looking for the most feedback they can possibly get.
I guess if you go alpha, you get it out as early as possible, feedback as early as possible, and just stretch out this whole alpha beta period, I guess. I'm not going to complain about that. It's just, it seems so early.
Yeah, if this was a marketing company, which Google has been doing a good job, I would say that they're trying to build the hype and all that stuff. But really, no, they're not trying to sell Android N or get people hype or anything. I think they're really looking for genuine feedback to make the OS better. And yeah. And so far, they need quite a bit of feedback, because I've been running the N on the Nexus 6 and the Pixel C. And I mean, it's janky as all hell. So
it really is.
Yeah, but it's an alpha, so you expect that. But anyone out there who has a daily driver, one phone, and they're like, oh man, I want to flash Android N and be like the cool kids.
Probably not a good idea.
Android Life. Yeah, bad idea. So just don't do it. A lot of apps break. There's a lot of stuff going on. So
yeah,
it's cool, but not that cool.
All right. So do you want to run through like what's new in terms of really big stuff? Because there's actually quite a bit of new stuff.
There's a ton of new stuff. The big one, first off, is multi-window support.
Oh my God, multi-window.
And that's native at the system level. So like we've seen for years on Samsung devices and some LG devices, you can now have two apps running simultaneously alongside each other. I know this is mind-blowing. Yeah. Yes. The universe has imploded. So what did I say about it? I didn't say much. So
I mean, it's so old in terms of an idea that it's exactly. Just so self-explanatory at this point. But yeah, Google's finally done it.
Yes. So multi-window, you access that from the recent apps button. When you have different apps going, you can drag and drop over which side you want. Again, on the Android end, when you're trying to resize the window or something, a lot of apps will get super buggy. They'll just crash. YouTube, if you make it too small, crash. And then the whole system basically crashes and the tablet restarts. So that's what an alpha does.
Super buggy.
Yeah, notification enhancements all around. So now, say, Hangouts 8.0 on Android N, it brings inline replies. So instead of when you hit that reply button inside of your notification shade, it doesn't bring up a pop-up window to reply. It does it all inline in the notification shade itself. Yeah. Exactly. So it'll pop up a keyboard, type in your reply, boom, and it's gone. Very cool, very awesome.
Yeah.
Notifications, the UI in general has gotten sort of an update now. Instead of sort of that card-esque Google Now look that we've had for a little while, there's now just a fine black line in between each notification. It's clean. I still think it needs a little bit of work.
It's going to take some getting used to, for sure.
Exactly. And they've also grouped together. So now apps can group together notifications so you don't have a bunch of... It's kind of hard to explain, but basically apps with multiple notifications, it's kind of like what you get on Android Wear. That's the best way to explain it. So Android Wear, you've got one application giving you multiple notifications. It's now under the same card. Very lovely. Doze on the go. They have enhanced the Doze feature, which is important for all those people not running Marshmallow who have crappy battery life. So now Doze, they've amped it up a little bit. So now instead, say... regularly how it works on Android 6.0 Marshmallow, you plug in your phone at night, or say you don't plug in your phone at night, the phone turns off CPU and data connectivity for and usage for a lot of applications like background apps. So say Facebook won't be draining your data while you're sleeping at night, shuts all that stuff down. Now with Doze on the go, even though that's not what it's called, it's just Doze on the go, it's still Doze. Whenever you have the phone in your pocket, unplugged and the display is off, after a certain amount of time, it'll kill that same CPU usage and network connectivity, so apps aren't draining your battery in the background.
In a bag, your pocket, yeah.
Exactly.
It recognizes the fact that it might be moving, hence on the go, but it knows you're not using it. Yeah.
Exactly. So that is hopefully a big deal. We have a new quick settings tile lookout. You know, it's the same tiles UI, except now there's a paginated view. So you can have more system toggles. You can swipe through them. I mean, not all that, you know, mind-blowing, but it is good for those who need more system toggles. And in addition, they have allowed developers to create tiles inside of the quick settings page that will do shortcuts for an app or features inside of an app that people want to use more often. However, Google does stress highly the fact that quick settings tiles are reserved for controls or actions that are urgently required and should not be used as shortcuts to launching an application.
Yeah.
So hopefully that doesn't get abused by developers or anything. But I'm sure if you yourself are a developer and you are listening to this, you know, maybe you want something on your phone that just acts as a shortcut. I'm sure you could probably build that for yourself, or else Google wouldn't say that you shouldn't use it that way.
I saw, I think it's the Clinkers. They make the Talon for Twitter, the Talon app and some other, I think they make a text messaging app that's pretty popular. They showed sort of a preview of what they're going to do, and they put, button essentially in the quick settings. This is like a preview they're working on where it basically is like a refresher for Twitter. So like you could just pull that down, tap that, it refreshes the Twitter app, you know, in the background, and then it pops up notifications if there's new stuff. So that's like an example of a potential implementation there.
Right. There's a new data saver feature. So say if you're on a limited data plan near the end of the month, you're running low, you can actually restrict how much data apps are pulling in. Say Facebook, it can lower the image quality, it can lower the bit rate of videos, so that way it's not using as much data near the end of a month. So really important feature for people who are on limited data plans. I made just a bulleted list basically to end it because there was so much more. There are enhancements to accessibility. There's number blocking through the phone's application. There's even call screening. There's a direct boot, which now gets rid of the Android is optimizing whenever you sort of restart your phone or whatever on Marshmallow devices. We've been seeing that Android is optimizing blank out of 100 plus applications or whatever. So that should be gone. And yeah, and there's just other background optimizations that minimize RAM use by the system and apps across the range of Android devices in the ecosystem. So what we saw yesterday is that Google was actually, they specifically mentioned jank, and they are trying to rid the system of jank. And then I put out on Twitter that we are starting a movement, you know, that rids the world of jank. And so, you know, we've made it, basically. Google has recognized our efforts.
They've recognized jank. It's exactly. Official.
It's official. Mm-hmm. Android and jank are one. So hopefully going forward, there will be less jank. And then, of course, you know, Kellen posted up a video, a complete hands-on. There's two parts. Yeah, I mean, there was so much new stuff going on. So, I mean, that was not the case last year when we got the developer preview of Android M. There was really not all too much to see, but in Android, and there's quite a bit. We got new wallpaper, singular, and so a ton of stuff to look at. If you haven't looked it all over, you can watch that video or take a look at our post, which shows everything bulleted. So,
yeah, quite a bit of stuff. Yeah, you just think as the platform gets more mature that we would stop seeing so many new things, but we just seem to keep getting newer and newer stuff, which is awesome. Obviously, there's room for improvement. And a lot of the stuff is things that we don't necessarily think about, but obviously Google and the Android team is realizing their areas that they can make better. So
every year people ask us, oh, what's something, a feature you want to see in Android that isn't there yet? It's like, dude, I don't even know. I have to wait for Google to tell me what I need. And then once they do that in these developer previews or whatever, I'm like, oh, Doe, I wish I had that. So, I mean, like a call blocker, a call screening.
Natively built in now.
Yeah, that's legit. I don't have to rely on some third-party app to screen my calls or something. That's great. So,
yeah, I mean, that should make it much easier for, like, TouchWiz to have call screening and call blocking because it's a system thing now, which is really great instead of just a dialer thing.
Exactly. I mean, it was always great that Samsung was kind of ahead of the curve in some features, save like fingerprint readers and all that. But
or like, you know, the quick toggles, because that's another thing they're adding now is quick toggles.
Oh, so it's like they're bringing it back, right? Those were available on Android 2.3 Gingerbread. That's another right, they bringing were. Them back. It's, oh man, it's like a throwback.
It is.
But, you know, when Android or when Google builds in these features natively to the system, it really helps everyone, all the OEMs and all the users benefit. So good on you, Google.
Yeah. So if you want to, if you own Nexus devices that are supported, so Nexus 5X, 6, 6P, 9 player, and Pixel C, no Nexus 5, unfortunately, but that phone is how old now? At least 2 years, 2.5 years. It's old. It's done. Nexus 7, same thing. So if you own those though, you have two ways to get these previews if you want them. Number one is the old-fashioned way, which is factory images. They're posted up at the Android developer preview site. You can download those and flash them and whatever. The other way, though, is new to Android N, and Google essentially opened up a beta program. They're calling it the Android beta program. And so N is the first, and it's kind of crazy, actually. We were waiting most of Wednesday for them to sort of launch the beta program sign up. And Tim logs into this thing where it's like the second it goes live and logs in with his Google account because it's attached to your Google account, and it pulls up a list of your compatible devices, basically. And which phone was it? Your 6P? No.
The 6.
It was the 6. Nexus 6. And he clicks like sign up, and looks at his phone, and there's a notification that says update to the Android N preview. It's crazy. I don't know if it's still that instant. I would assume it is, but
I assume it is. It's completely instant, and my mind was blown because I knew that morning. I called it. I said
you had this feeling.
I said it would have to be instant, right? The IMEI probably, you know, the device pings the server, and it will instantly see that there's an update, right? Because it's a beta program, and developers who are using it will need to have that stuff. You know,
they want it now.
Very
quickly. They don't want to wait a day for a rollout. Yeah,
exactly. So as soon as it went live, I signed up and boom, there was the update and my mind was blown. Unfortunately, what I did not realize is that so the Nexus 6 that I had was on a Marshmallow preview, and which was so I was having troubles verifying the Android N preview. And so I had to go through ADB and Fastboot and Flash N myself. But for everyone else, it seems to work just fine. You know, just downloading an OTA, which makes the process so easy. I mean, it's doable by anyone. The fact that you can just download an OTA and get Android N, and even, you know, get off of N, it'll just ship you the image of like the regular public release if you want to get out of it. It's really great.
It's a pretty slick feature. And yeah, I mean, it's seriously, and then I started doing it after you did, just clicked register and it was just popping up on all these Nexus devices. It was awesome.
It's really great. I think Google is doing such a cool thing. I mean, that's really cool. If only everything was that quick, right? If Samsung, say, made an update available, and the second that it was available, it was there on your device. But that's not the world we live in, but no, one can dream.
Hopefully, it's like this with future previews. So like the next one, hopefully when it's available, everyone can get it now, you know, and they don't do a slow rollout. I know this first one, you know, they got it ready, so they made it available to everyone right now. But hopefully when the next OTA comes out, it's not a damn slow rollout. Because we're developers. If you break our phone, we get it. That's fine. I mean, we're not developers. We know, like, technically, because we're trying out these. So we'll see how that works. But yeah, it's been pretty sweet to just see all the OTAs show up like that.
It's great.
Let's see. So, you know, we've been kind of running through just different features and stuff. Like Tim said, we got preview videos if you guys haven't seen those yet. Like the app switcher button, while it launches multi-window now, Google added all these new tricks to it where you can double tap on it and flip between apps. And so they're just adding all these features they didn't really announce. Like there's a personal emergency screen where you can add all of your info, including, you know, medical allergies and conditions and all of that stuff. So they've done some pretty cool things. And then also, if you want a Pixel C, you can get it 25% off right now. Google will just send you a code if anyone's interested in that.
No one is, but thank you, Google.
Yeah. I mean, like I signed up for it just to see, I think it was a day late, just to see if they were still available. And yeah, they sent me a code within an hour and I did not buy one.
Yep. I did the same just to see, because it said, you know, limited supplies or whatever, but there's not a limited supplies of Pixel Cs. I'm sure there's a million sitting in a warehouse somewhere.
Yeah, there's probably a lot.
They'll be giving those out at this year's I.O., I guarantee it.
They probably will. Yeah. That's interesting, though. We haven't really talked about this, but now that Android N is here now, so we'll get another preview next month, and then we'll obviously get one. Maybe they'll wait for that third preview until I.O., and then they'll announce it's available. But does it kind of take away from I.O. then? Because we've had 2 months of previews leading up to it, or?
Yes, it does. In my opinion, it absolutely does. Although, but really, like, who cares? I mean, I.O., it's supposed to just be a developers conference. So now, instead of people getting all hot and bothered over a new version of Android, people already go there, the developers go there with questions concerning Android, and they already know what to expect from Google I.O. So on the developer side, this is probably a great thing because they have time to work with it all. But, you know, from the public eye, you know, we like surprises. We want to be ooh and ah.
Maybe
but
they'll announce the name. That'll be the surprise maybe at I.O.
Most likely. I would hope so, but
you're right, though. From a non-dev perspective, it kind of takes away from I.O., but Google in the last few years especially has really tried to make this is a developer event. Like yes. Even when they invited us this year, they asked. They said, we know you guys, you know, like to cover whatever, but this is really a developer event, but do you still want to come? And we said, yes, of course. But it really is like, and they're trying to hammer that home. Like, don't show up. You know, we don't want the people signing up that just want free crap and like that don't really care. They just want to come hang out, you know, at Google. Like, it really is a developer thing. And so they're really pushing that, which is probably a good thing, you know? And we did see this year, they kind of brought back consumer launches, right? Like when Marshmallow launched and all the new Nexus, they actually did a consumer device launch for the first time in a couple of years. So, it's fine. But you did make a good point that now that developers know what Android N is, when we get to I/O, they can show up going, this sucks, fix this, what's wrong with this, how do I do this? And the whole Google team can go, all right, we fixed this, we've already done this, this is how you do this. And they can actually work on things rather than learning it at an 8 a.m. keynote and then running into classes and going, I don't know what's going on. Like, now they can go there almost as an informed developer, which is nice. So
absolutely. Yeah, so I think for the Android ecosystem, which is still rated a 9 on some sites, this is a good thing. So hopefully it can help make Android better.
We're releasing Android N so we can get that ecosystem score up.
Yeah. How are we not at 10? Like, damn.
I don't know. 1.5 billion users out there, but ecosystem, not perfect. No. All right. Any other things about Android N? Other than, so Hiroshi made a mention about we're nut telling, right?
He's so silly. So silly. Yeah, nut telling. You know, I the way I say it, I hear Nutella. So on the Droid Life Instagram, go follow Droid Life on Instagram. Yeah, I put a little Android bug droid guy next to a case of Nutella because I eat Nutella every.
Oh, did Tim just drop? Tim may have just dropped.
Hey, and I What I drop?
I don't know. Something just stopped there for a second when you were like mid into, I love Nutella so much. It just paused.
Gosh.
I don't know.
Well, I was saying that I love Nutella. I eat it every day and I want Android Nutella. Android 7.0 Nutella.
Which we don't know if it's 7.0.
No,
but
we
it
don't.
Should be, right? I mean, it should. Didn't they kind of say last year that each year it's going to be a new version? I think they did. I think it's going to be 7.0.
Right. Well, yeah, new version, maybe like from Marshmallow to Nutella, but maybe not the number wise.
You know, the numbers are going to change. For some reason, I thought they also sort of said, like, we'll get a new name and new number.
That's possible. I mean, everything's changing. So,
yeah,
it's hard to keep up.
I can't keep up either. Yeah. All right. Let's go into HTC 10. So, this all happened, I think, last week, and we didn't do a show last week, but, HTC started teasing their next smartphone and they were using this hashtag called, was it Power of 10? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Power of 10. And so we just assumed that was them confirming that the phone will be called the 1M10. And apparently they're not. So EvLeaks and is it UpLeaks is the other one? Not UpLeaks.
UpLeaks. Okay. OnLeaks.
OnLeaks, that's what it is. They've been spamming out pictures of this thing and they're calling it the HTC 10. So it sounds like HTC will drop the 1M series and this phone will just be called the HTC 10. And so we've had a number of pictures since then and some specs. And EvLeaks says he's pretty sure that April 19th will be the launch. I'm assuming we're going to get an event before then, or is he saying that is the day of the event? I can't actually tell what he's saying, honestly.
I would think that must be retail launch. I don't know why he would be privy to exactly like what date HTC will do like a announcement event.
That's true.
But yeah.
So yeah, we think it might show up April 19th and probably be able to buy it. I would almost imagine that HTC is taking their sweet time with this, that by the time they do announce it, they'll just make it available right away kind of thing. Right. Like you'll be able to order it online and then we'll see if they partner with any carriers. I know that sounds odd, but yeah. You know, Motorola's gone away from that and HTC I don't think has the best relationships with carriers, so I wouldn't be surprised if they sell a fully unlocked device just like Motorola does. Let's see though. So we got pictures. We have some real pictures. We have plenty of press renders in a bunch of different colors and then even more real in-person pictures. So I've been talking a bunch of trash about HTC phones lately because I think they all look like iPhones. This one doesn't really look like an iPhone to me. I'm being honest. It doesn't really look that much like it looks like an HTC One phone is what it looks like.
Looks pretty boring to me.
It's pretty plain. It does not look like much has changed other than they doubled up the chamfer. So much chamfer.
A lot of champ.
And it'll come in gold and white, silver and white, silver and black, and charcoal and black. And you know, they're going with capacitive back in app switcher and then physical home button. That'll be a fingerprint sensor. So it kind of looks a little bit like, you know, Samsung in that regard. It's obviously a new version of Sense. I mean, I don't think it's an ugly phone. It's just kind of plain and a little boring and just sort of looks like old HTC One phones. And I just kind of am ready for them to do something new, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are you thinking about this thing?
You know, yesterday I wrote up those in the flesh photos that we got. And, you know, I think there's just a whole lot of chin, like down on the bottom side. Yeah, we've got the home fingerprint reader. We've got room for an HTC logo down there, too. I'm guessing that's going to come. We have capacitive buttons for recent apps and back. I mean, I think they're taking a step backwards in, like, the design department, right? HTC always champion their design department, their design team, the one team that they acquired and that is now gone. So I don't know who's running design over there at HTC, but, you know, I need to see it in person, get my hands on it. But like you said, there's a whole lot of chamfer. It's a pretty plain looking device. We can see there's power button on the right, volume rocker. It just seems sort of boring to me, especially coming from, say, like what Samsung is doing and all that. I mean, G5 really switched it up, even, you know, with its now metal design and the modular stuff going on. I don't know what HTC really, like what separates this from something we've seen a couple of years ago or something like that. You know, there's nothing too crazy going on. So,
yeah. And I know you have your identity, your design identity and all that. And you don't want to just throw everything out and start over, but HTC is also a company that probably needs to just throw it all out and start over. And this looks just, yeah, a lot like all of their old One devices. I'm sure it'll be a fine phone. You know, it's pretty sure it has the same camera that's in the 6P. So hopefully they, you know,
yeah, I'm seeing, most of the feedback I've seen from our community, at least, is that people are not all that excited. No. And these are honest consumers that we have, our readers. So they're not biased or anything. They're just sharing their own opinions. Mm-hmm. And none of them seem all too crazy about the HTC M or HTC 10.
HTC 10. HTC yeah, a lot of people 10. Don't seem that excited.
Yeah, and why should they be, right? I mean, we were all let down by the One M9. I think HTC has a lot of work to do if they're going to get those consumers feeling their brand again.
Yeah, so the dual front-facing speakers, which they've championed for years, are gone. And we just have a rear-firing single speaker, just like on the iPhone and the S7s. And, you know, so that's got the G5 also has that, I believe. Mm. So it's supposedly a 5.1-inch quad HD display, Snapdragon 820, 4 GB RAM, 12-megapixel camera, USB Type-C. So, you know, like the specs and everything sound great, but yeah, can you differentiate and stand out by design? I don't know. And, you know, when you look at this, you mentioned the chin and how huge it is. So this is a 5.1-inch display. I bet this thing is like half an inch taller than the Galaxy S7.
It's possible.
Which is kind of unfortunate. So I don't know. I want at this point, I would love it if HTC would make a phone that actually mattered. I don't know if this one's it. Obviously, these are renders and prototype pictures and whatever. It'll be probably a completely different story when we get this thing in hand, but
it's possible.
Yep. So we don't know when an event is. HTC kind of told us to be on the lookout. We haven't heard anything since. So it seems like it's got to be happening in March, right? And then the phone will be out April 19th, according to EvLeaks.
That would be good. I mean, whether, you know, it depends on if they want to go head to head with Samsung and LG, or they want to kind of differentiate themselves and maybe give them a little bit of a break, maybe so consumers can actually differentiate between the devices and all that. And that's for the uninformed among us, right? You know, the consumers at least. You know, you're going to walk into a Verizon store here in a couple of months and you're going to be able to choose between the S7, G5 and HTC 10. And it's going to be up to you to decide which phone suits your life. So it's going to be tough. Dude, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be tough for HTC. They are in for a long year.
I think HTC doesn't necessarily care that much about phones anymore.
It's all, it's VR now for them.
It's VR. It's the Vive. They're hoping to make lots of money off the Vive, and I don't know how they plan to make lots of money off the Vive, a product that few people will buy, but They must have a plan.
So I think it might be a product that few will adopt early on. But I think in the long run, as we see, you know, by 2020 and all that, like we've heard from other companies.
Do they have that much time? That's what I want to know.
Well, they will when they get bought and another company is injecting cash into, you know, the company. Because Vive, for all sense of the word or whatever, you know, is a success. In the first 10 minutes or 15 minutes of the pre-orders,
yeah,
they sold like 15,000 units. They made, I think I did some math, at $700 a pop. Or no, $7.99 or $6.99?
$7.99? I don't know. We should know that.
It's $7.99. So $800 a pop. They sold 15,000 of them. They made a few million bucks. So, and they still charge people for shipping. I mean, you want to talk about...
They seriously did.
Yeah, you want to talk about a scam.
So we ordered one, in case you guys are wondered or worried that we're not going to cover the Vive much. We figured we might as well. HTC, before they die, we might as well cover their one hit product. Yeah, it's $800 plus $30 in shipping. They actually charged me $30 for shipping.
Yeah, that's just rude. And that's ill-hearted.
It really
So they made $1 million off shipping alone of the Vive. So good for them. I mean, they're making money where they can.
Well, they didn't. Obviously, there's costs involved there.
Yeah, I seriously doubt it costs $30. I'm just going to say, I don't think it costs $30 to ship the Vive.
No, I know, but to make it, it probably costs at least a couple hundred, few hundred.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I don't know how much all that costs.
This is next level stuff.
What's so next level about it? Because the power is coming from the computer.
That's probably cost them a lot to invest in making it, and so they're trying to recoup all those costs, is my guess.
That's quite possible. But the system itself, the headset, it's still plastic. You know,
but it's got lasers.
That's true. Well, little like IR sensor things.
Yeah.
Lasers. I don't know. I'm sure there's a ton of investment made on their part to make a really cool VR machine, and I'm looking forward to coming over and trying it out for sure.
Yeah. And that's what this is right here, by the way. If I can get it right there. There's the VR machine.
Oh, just, the VR machine.
Just arrived today. First Windows computer I've had in I don't even know how many years.
What type of machine is that for anyone curious?
It's an HP Envy 860 VR, I think. It's one of HTC's recommended. So look at that. Windows computer in this house. Who would have thought?
I don't even know
how to work that thing. I was telling Tim, I don't even know what's going on with Windows anymore. So that should be fun. But we will. So I don't think we've actually mentioned that, but we ordered Vive and we'll have it immediately once it arrives in early April, and it'll be hooked up to that boy right there.
Nice.
We'll talk about it. We'll try not to overwhelm you guys because we know it's not really Android related, but it's apparently the future. All the kids are talking about it, I think.
That's right.
Or just old people that need something to invest in that are venture capitalists. They are talking about it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's HTC 10. Finally, before we come close to wrapping up here, so LG G5, LG announced the day before the Galaxy S7 launches, of course, that the G5 will officially arrive in early April. They would not specify a date or pricing or any of that stuff, and they're still going to announce that, but they did say early April. So if you're waiting for the G5, which we are, early April. So if you don't want the S7 or you're holding out maybe so you can get your hands on the G5 or see some more G5 coverage or reviews and all that stuff, which we should have shortly. You only have like a month to go if you can wait that long. I'm one of those people that has no patience. So if I was not doing this for a living and I wanted to buy a phone and for some reason had lots of money to blow on new phones, it would be tough to skip the S7 and wait for the G5. But think about holding out if you aren't so sure about the S7 at this point, early April. I'm still kind of excited about the G5. I mean, I know the S7 and S7 Edge are awesome, but the G5 I think is going to be a really good phone.
I'm looking forward to getting my hands on it and trying out some of that modular stuff. You know, every picture I see of it, say on social media, they're always showing off how it's modular, how you can take out the battery. I'm like, who the hell in the right mind is like constantly taking out the battery?
Yeah, because it reboots every single time you do that.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And the guy was even like outside in the rain. Like, what? What kind of picture is this?
Anyway. And the phone is like not even an ounce of water resistant, I don't think.
Yeah, and that was on the LG Instagram account. Everyone can go look at that and spam the comment section saying this is stupid. Like, why is this person opening his phone outside in what appears to be the rain? Anyway.
Hot. Yeah, so that's coming along shortly. And then, yeah, HTC will be right after that. So we're not stopping anytime soon. On that note, though, S7 and S7 Edge reviews. So you guys know we take our time before we review these big phones. I am shooting for early next week with the S7, and Tim probably take just a little bit longer on the Edge, or unless he's ready. But I'd say maybe next week we'll try to do both of those for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm shooting for end of next week. I got my phone quite a bit after, Kellen. I've only been having the F7 Edge for like 2 days now. Yeah. So I'm going to try and do the best I can and get it up by the end of next week, or at least like Monday the following week, but as quickly as possible.
Yeah, so we'll have those up within the next week and week and a half. So stay tuned for those. Let's see, you want to talk any apps or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. I have one app that I want to talk about. I've been playing a lot of Fallout 4, if anyone on Twitter has noticed or anything like that. It's a fantastic game. I'm playing it on PlayStation 4, and the game is so large, and there's so much to do that I always found myself sort of going to YouTube on the Fallout 4 wiki site to figure out, you know, what was going on or how I could play the game better. And so what I've been using is sort of like a companion app whenever I'm playing Fallout 4. I use the Fallout 4 wiki app that's available for Android. So maybe, as Fallout 4 players already know that this exists and they probably already have it, but if you do play the game and don't already know about this, it's a really helpful app. Whenever you go to a new location, you can find all the notable loot listed, so that way you don't miss any mini nukes or ammo or magazines or anything that's important in the game. So, highly recommended Fallout 4 wiki app. You can find it on Google Play for free.
Nice.
Yeah, Fallout 4 rocks.
If I had time, I would probably play something like that.
It's possible.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, I think that's pretty much it. Lots of stuff going on. I mean, it was S7 week, and then out of nowhere, Google drops Android N, and then we have new phones still coming up. What a crazy week.
Crazy.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, anything else?
No, have a fantastic weekend, everybody.
Yeah, have a fantastic weekend. Thanks for joining us. Again, this is episode 104. We should be back next week. So actually, no, I'll be at the NCAA tournament. And we might not have a show next week. We'll be back soon, though. So, yeah, thanks for joining us, everyone. Droid life. Peace.